That is the music of a man who is most likely going to miss another WrestleMania, very sadly.
Two in a row. Ooh. Ouch.
Well, he's starting his own little special streak.
Yeah.
20 more to go, and you'll match The Undertaker. What's going on? This is Brain Stew Wrestling, pro wrestling talk without the PG filter. My name is Hammy. Joining me in studio is, as always, Michael Hipster Punchy, no longer Hipster Punchy, Falcone.
Yep. So that was some interesting news to hear about today. Like, as that,
what a heartbreak that is. Seth Rollins re-injuring his knee on Monday Night Raw. Most likely, from reports, rumors I'm hearing, he's going to be out another 4 to 6 months.
Yeah, that's the early reports for that one. I know he got it checked out today. There's been no official,
official word, but it is not good. It is not good to be Seth Rollins right now. Just imagine that. You tear apart your knee in a house show of all shows. You spend the time going through therapy, going through rehabilitation. You come back. You enter what is most likely going to be the biggest feud of your career with Triple H. And then you get injured on Raw. My God, what a sad, unfortunate turn of events for Seth Rollins.
Do they know what happened?
Yeah, so it happened on Raw. So Samoa Joe debuted attacking Rollins, and Rollins' foot stayed on the ground on the mat while he was getting put in the coquina clutch.
Okay.
And as he was getting taken down, the knee bent in a weird direction. And that caused the injury. And when they play it, you can actually audibly hear Rollins say, ow. And then someone actually did a close-up of that, like, of them, like, while on the ground. And you can kind of audibly hear Samoa Joe saying, are you okay? And Rollins more clearly saying, I hope so.
Ooh.
And you can see Rollins' face, like, in clear pain. So, man, I don't know what to say, man. I mean, Seth Rollins, I mean, this was going to be maybe the co-main event of WrestleMania.
This is going to be the match that propelled Rollins up to the next level, probably.
Who was Rollins supposed to fight with? Samoa
Triple
Joe
H.
Or Triple H?
Triple H.
Okay.
Triple H, yeah. It was going to face Samoa Joe at next pay-per-view, Fastlane, for Raw.
Yeah.
So here's the moment where supposedly the injury took place.
Yeah, that's coming to break.
Samoa Joe, the Destroyer. And now the coquina clutch. Samoa Joe.
Right there. Right there is where it happened.
If you go back to right when the knee thing happened, like, you can kind of hear him say, ow.
Samoa Joe.
I heard it.
Samoa Joe just squeezing every last breath out of Seth Rollins' body. Stopping the flow of blood to Rollins' head.
And somebody's got to get out of here.
Go back a second. You hear Rollins where he says, I hope so.
Stopping the flow of blood to Rollins' head.
And somebody's got to get out.
You hear Joe saying, you okay? And Rollins saying, I hope so. Man, what a fucking heartbreak this is for Seth Rollins. I know I'm a broken record saying this, man, but big things were going to happen for Seth Rollins this year. Through WrestleMania, through summer of 2017, most likely going to have a big match at SummerSlam 2. Seth Rollins was going to be put in place to be one of the big players in WWE, and the injured knee gets re-injured again.
So there's an update from Dave Meltzer. He's reporting that it's believed Seth Rollins tore his MCL and that the timetable is about 8 weeks.
Nearly as bad as
no, that's not nearly as bad.
I originally heard this morning it was like estimated at 9 months.
Yeah, like that was, but yeah, estimate like some people were thinking 9 months because they thought same knee, there was nothing really official out.
Some people even said that it was like done for him.
Yeah,
like, totally.
But then, like, what also happened was eventually, it started to get more information started getting out that, like, he was just starting to get checked out, and that it was only possible of him missing WrestleMania.
So at this point, it looks like he'll still be there.
I mean,
if the 8-week estimate is correct.
If it is,
It may be.
I mean,
it may be.
Dave Meltzer's a guy who know like his information is typically legit when it comes to this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it's still an MCL. That's which again, not as bad as it could have been.
Yeah, no. I wanted to jump all over Samoa Joe for this because I hate him so much, but it looks like it really wasn't his fault.
No, it wasn't his fault. It's never a wrestler's fault. It's almost never a wrestler's fault when they are when an injury happens. It takes two to tango in the world of pro wrestling, and no one is 100% at fault. I mean, if you take a chair and you just give the guy multiple concussions and they go crazy, then okay, then maybe that's 100% your fault. But in the world of pro wrestling, it's almost never 100% someone's fault when they get injured. A series of unfortunate accidents happen. For example, Seth Rollins has been lambasted by Bret the Hitman Hart for being an unsafe worker because of what he did with Finn Balor.
Finn Balor, Sting, John Cena.
I mean, he ended Sting's career. I mean, granted, Sting's neck was fragile anyway, and he was not in shape enough to take that kind of move. But when Rollins threw him up in that turnbuckle powerbomb or whatever, Sting's neck ricocheted off the turnbuckle, gave him whiplash, and inadvertently broke his neck. It didn't literally break his neck, but it damaged his neck so much that Sting was forced to retire.
Well, so when I first saw the news this morning, it was on the WWE Facebook page, because I've been hanging around you too long enough. I now have liked the page and kind of follow what's happening.
As you should.
And they were originally, I saw the stuff and all the comments were like lambasting, demanding Samoa Joe be fired and all of this shit.
It's not Samoa Joe's fault.
No, yeah. It's not at all.
Now you could tell it was netizens like railing off.
It's not.
I wanted to. I hate Samoa Joe, so
it's
I just
weird
jump.
Hatred of
I
Samoa
do.
Joe.
I do. There's something about him that I cannot stand.
I think it's the fact
I mean, you look at the WWE.com exclusive video of Rollins walking out with crutches. He's putting some weight on his knee.
Yeah.
So if that was a severe tear where he was not able to walk again like he was the last time, I would be a little more serious about this.
If it were as severe as the last injury, I think he'd probably know because he's been through that. But yeah, so it's like they said, torn MCL. Timetable is about 8 weeks, so that's
almost right at WrestleMania.
Yeah, like, and let's be honest, if they think he can go, they've got a couple weeks to get there.
And not to mention, Mike, Rollins is the type of person that will work his ass off. I mean, we saw his documentary on the WWE Network. We saw what he put his body through to try to get back at WrestleMania 32.
He put his body, he healed, I think, months earlier than that typically takes.
Because of how much that determination he had. And, man, if he's going to be told that he might miss WrestleMania again, you can bet your sweet patootie, Michael,
that
he is going to work his ass off to get to WrestleMania. He is not missing two in a row.
So if it's 8 weeks, that means it's not a full tear of the MCL. So what they'll do is they'll probably put his leg on bubble wrap. Like, if they do decide to go forward with Seth Rollins versus Triple H, we're going to see a lot of Seth Rollins talky segments.
So what exactly happened the first time around?
He did a spot where he would be on the top turnbuckle with someone else, and then he would kind of flip over that person and powerbomb them.
Uh-huh.
When he landed doing the powerbomb spot, and I think Hammy's actually pulling up the video now, his one leg landed awkwardly, like shown here, and then...
So right there.
Oh, yeah, saw that turn.
There. And he still picked up Kane and powerbombed him through the table.
Yeah,
but you can see him clearly hold his knee okay, this ain't good. So, boom, there it is.
Yeah, oh, God.
He landed on his knee diagonally and poof, that just, that tore that off.
And it's such a shame it's at a live show, too.
Yeah, it didn't even happen on Raw or at a pay-per-view. It was at a house show. But it doesn't matter where you get injured. What matters is Rollins got severely injured. He came back. He's been on a roll lately. And this happens again.
Yeah. But for, it sounds like it's not a full tear. It's just something that'll be a few, even if he misses WrestleMania, I'm sure they'd rather him miss WrestleMania than be gone for more than 8 weeks.
In which case, they would put him versus Triple H at SummerSlam. You got to believe that.
Yeah. I think that what they would do is they would just wait until WrestleMania, and they would probably go with a Samoa Joe Rollins feud for a bit. Or even, like, Seth Rollins, get him a feud, another feud with Kevin Owens or whoever else they have in the heel spectrum.
So, for those of you who were thinking that, oh, this is a work. Oh, this is like Nakamura. Which, by the way, I'm more than convinced that the Nakamura injury from NXT TakeOver is indeed a work, because we haven't heard word of it. If he was legitimately injured, it would have gotten out already.
Oh,
by
that
now.
Was absolutely a work.
It was absolutely a work. And bravo to Nakamura and the NXT staff for fooling me, because I was fooled. For up until, I want to say yesterday, I was convinced that it was real, and they're just keeping quiet, because if word got that Nakamura was injured, oh boy, would people go into panic mode.
Well, that was one fuck of a work too, because we were rewatching we were watching NXT before the show, and then they were showing clips of the match between Nakamura and Bobby Roode, and he started selling his knee getting achy like very early in the match. Like, he was laying groundwork for it to look natural. They NXT committed, started sending out people to
bravo. They fooled me. They sold me. But Seth Rollins is unfortunately a legit injury. He came out, tweeted several times today. He said, first off, with the med pads on his knee, I wish I could say it was just a bad dream. Then he goes on, tweets several times, wanted to take a second to thank everyone who has reached out to me over the last 2 days. Life doesn't always go your way, but that is no excuse to surrender. If anything, obstacles exist to help us grow and evolve. This re-injury to my surgically repaired knee is real, and a lot is up in the air right now. But one thing remains constant, my resolve. This doesn't end for me until I've reclaimed the throne, and for me, fighting and defeating Triple H is the only way. I will work harder than I've ever have and push myself beyond what I know. This isn't over. The only way to wear the crown is to slay the king. I know what must be done, and there's nothing that can stop me. So even though he confirms that it is real, even though he confirms that he doesn't know how long he's going to be out, he is still playing into the storyline that he is going to face Triple H. So that leads to basically the main topic here, Mike. What were some of the greatest legit serious injuries but still kept to the storyline moments that you can remember?
Balor, his injury was used as a storyline, like with them having to readjust with it. Stone Cold's neck injury was one. Technically Cesaro with the overuse of the Kinesio tape at this point.
I mean, for fuck's sake, Jerry the King Lawler had a heart attack, and Ziggler just the other week on SmackDown used it in a storyline.
Like, there's been stuff. But also, one thing that's come out of this whole thing, which now has been kind of shown to be BS, a lot of people were blaming Joe at first, thinking that he was being careless. And as you saw in the video there, like, that was a no one's fault situation. But people were thinking
You saw the way that their legs moved. There's nothing that Samoa Joe could have done to prevent it happening. Joe was doing his thing. Rollins' feet got stuck and his knee bent the wrong way. It's not Samoa Joe's fault. So, guys, stop it. It's not Samoa Joe's fault.
People were trying to make it seem like it was because of the fact of the Tyson Kidd injury a few years ago, which, let's be honest, it's pro wrestling. Injuries happen. The Kidd thing was an accident too, and really no one's fault.
I mean, professional wrestling is the athletic way of showing yourself falling several times a night theatrically. I mean, you're purposely falling on your back, risking breaking your neck, breaking your bones, breaking your spine. I mean, pro wrestling, yes, it's entertainment, but it is also an art form, and there's a lot of physicality that goes into becoming a successful wrestler. Injuries will can and will always happen.
Like, and also, like, there's other guys in the roster who have injured people seriously that it's all accidents. Like, for example, in the span of the Tyson Kidd and Seth Rollins injuries during segments or matches with Samoa Joe, Seth Rollins has injured John Cena, Sting, Finn Balor. In that same span, Shinsuke Nakamura dislocated Samoa Joe's jaw and broke Austin Aries' orbital bone. all of which were accidents. Like, every single injury that we've mentioned so far are accidents. Otherwise, all involved are very careful in the ring with the people they're facing. Like the show with Joe. Joe recognized something went wrong and checked in on Seth Rollins. So, but they're... Let's face it, though, there are people who are legit careless in the ring.
Yeah, I was just about to say, I've heard both of you actually bitch about certain wrestlers for being careless.
Yeah, and I decided... Yeah.
So where do you draw the line with that? How do you decipher who you consider careless and when you chalk it up to an accident? Like, can you give me an example of somebody who's legit careless?
Okay, so New Jack is one of the biggest examples.
I was going to say, like, the most notorious one is New Jack because... Yeah. New Jack, for those of you who may not know, was an ECW wrestler who was a legit former gangbanger who got caught up in gang violent activities.
Also former bounty hunter at one point, too.
Yes, so he was a bad man, legitimately. And his shtick in pro wrestling was he wanted to make it as real as possible. So what he liked to do was really bust people open, legit, whether they wanted it or not. And the most infamous story involving New Jack was what wrestling people was called the mass transit incident.
Yep.
And what happened was it was at an ECW house show, like a couple of weeks or a month right before they were supposed to go on pay-per-view.
If you want, I got a pretty good knowledge of that incident.
Go.
You want me to?
Go.
All right. So during an ECW taping, so I think it was supposed to be New Jack and someone else versus Axel and Ian Rotten, or one of the Dudleys and Ian Rotten. Rotten couldn't get the visa, so there was this kid who
lied about his age.
It was 17 at the time. This is before the internet, so it wasn't really easy to fact check. Mm-hmm. Lied about his age, said he was like in his 20s.
He was really like 18 or something?
He was legitimately 17.
He was, legit 17.
He claimed that he was a trained wrestler, and there was someone, like a midget wrestler, who actually, like, helped him out and said, yeah, no, I can vouch. He trained for Killer Kowalski, I believe was who his name dropped. And again, this is before cell phones were a big thing. This was before the internet. So, like, there was no way to actually quickly find that out, and it was last minute. So Paul Heyman put him in the match, taking the word for it of people that vouched for the kid.
Okay, so is Paul Heyman given any shit for that?
No. I mean, I know ECW, he was one of
the
people.
Why not? I love Paul Heyman, but please tell me why not.
Because there was no way for him to verify.
Yes, but then he shouldn't put the person in the match, correct?
The kid had a fake ID. And other people vouched for him that he was a trained pro wrestler. Like, people, like, in the business that Paul Heyman's like, all right, like, he trains for them, so he knows that this... the kid lied about his age.
And here's the video, by the way, of New Jack slicing him open.
So, hold on. Before you go to that, though...
Well, too late, it's already there. Yeah. But yeah. And New Jack was known to be real aggressive with blading.
Yeah.
And as you can see, he sliced two arteries in this kid's head.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Now, I do want to point out, they're setting up the match, again, thinking that this is an adult and someone who knew.
Okay, so the face that's up now, that's the kid who was injured?
Yeah.
I believe so.
So the kid was told, like, there's going to be a blading spot. Which he agrees to it.
Okay.
His big error, though, was going to New Jack and asking him to... He's like, I've never bladed before. Can you blade me?
There was a lot of variables in a situation that should not have gone down that road. But the end result was an underage kid who lied about his age, asked a very notoriously bad blader in New Jack to blade him in the match... And New Jack took literally a blade and sliced two arteries on his head. The kid lost a insane amount of blood and almost died.
Yeah.
And the end result of that was the pay-per-view company that was supposed to carry the ECW first pay-per-view pulled the plug.
Yeah.
And ECW almost went out of business because of it.
And again, Paul Heyman avoided any legal ramifications because the kid lied about his age.
I mean, when I asked if Paul Heyman was getting any shit for it, I like Paul Heyman. I respect Paul Heyman. I wasn't saying I think Paul Heyman should have. I just want to put that out there. I was just wondering where the blame for this incident was being placed.
A little bit of everywhere. Okay. Like, some people were like...
So Mora, this is really unfortunate. We just have to start changing policy as opposed to like this is you.
Yeah, and be like, more, be a lot more careful with checking information.
Yeah, like Paul like Paul Heyman got more careful after that. New Jack got shit for being reckless because he's a reckless worker to work with. The kid and his dad got shit because why
you're stupid and lied.
Yeah, like why put yourself in that position? You lied.
And the dad was there front and center to watch the whole thing, too.
Yeah.
And oh, so it's like you watch this happen to your kid. You should have realized.
Yes.
Listen, this
yes.
is not at all okay.
Now, once the blading happened and like they realized an artery was cut, mm-hmm. that's when the dad finally was like, he's only 17. And that's audible on the video.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So like they didn't know he was 17 until after the fact. And again.
Can I ask for the name of this guy?
Eric Kulas. I'll find out. But as we're Wikipedia, so New Jack is one of the ones, and not only the mass transit incident, and it's being looked up here, but
Eric Kulas.
Yeah, Eric Kulas. So New Jack just has a reputation for aside from the blading, he does a lot of the hardcore style. He wants to be as real as possible. He's also known for being very difficult to work with.
Ooh, that head though.
Yeah, like for those who are wondering, if you look at a picture of New Jack and his blading scars, he's not even careful blading himself, let alone anybody.
Yeah, those
else.
Are incredibly visible scars.
Like, I remember like almost Abdullah the Butcher.
Yeah.
Looking.
Yeah. Like I remember though, like the cool thing about New Jack, like back when I was in my teens, was the fact that like, Natural Born Killers by Dr. Dre and Ice Cube would be playing throughout the entirety of any matches he's in. So, like, when he came out, like, that song would be playing for effect because Paul Heyman's a genius with that kind of shit.
Wow.
So, there's other ones, too, though. Like, another one who was considered an unsafe worker was Mabel. Mabel was considered an unsafe worker because he wasn't really good at what he did. Like, he wasn't a good technical wrestler. He was also so heavy that he physically...
A.K. Viscera.
Yeah, Viscera. He was so heavy that he couldn't move in ways that could ensure that he was making sure that the other person was safe.
Mm-hmm.
And he really didn't have any regard for the other person's safety either.
Okay.
And for those...
Oh, who is that?
That's him.
That's okay. Mabel, a.k.a. Viscera.
And then the Steiners were also very known for for being very stiff with their work and not really having any regard for the safety of their opponents during matches. Same with the Road Warriors and Ahmed Johnson. Warrior as well. A newer example would be Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, Brock Lesnar is notorious for being stiff in the ring. And
someone just said the 17-year-old from Mass Transit died due to gastric bypass complications.
Yeah, a few years later.
Yeah,
in 2002. Yeah.
Eric Kulas was a big boy.
Yeah.
So...
You'll notice a lot of the people.
It's unfortunate, but
you'll notice a lot of the people who are considered unsafe workers, with the exception of New Jack, were either very muscular or very heavy.
Okay, not to sound, but do you think it's due to the fact that they don't have the athleticism to really do anything else of notice?
It's all right for someone, possibly, but also some of them are just like all they care about is them looking good, and they just will show little regard for the other person in ring. A lot of the ones who were or are like that in ring that are like muscular are just like, I want to look good. So I'm going to make sure this move looks good. Not mattering. The Doomsday Device by the Legion of Doom, because they're also ones that were considered unsafe to work with just because they hit hard. And their finisher left someone at risk to possibly awkwardly land on their head or shoulders.
Another one I would possibly add to this list, even though he's only known for one injury, D'Lo Brown.
I would add.
He got a lot of shit for it because.
But here's the thing, though.
It was an unfortunate accident, but he was also labeled as someone who is like he is the black sheep of the locker room now because D'Lo Brown. I forget what move they were trying to do.
It was his one of the power bombs that he does, like one of.
That's right. So he was working with a guy named Draws, and he
Draws was also very oiled up. too. Like, that was one of the reasons. Like, he just got was too slippery.
But the end result was he was trying to do this move, and Draws ended up being paralyzed for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
And he lost complete control of his legs. He had other severe injuries, but he was done.
Yeah.
And now I think he's a motivational speaker, which, I mean, good for him. But D'Lo Brown got a black mark on him in the locker room for being an unsafe worker because of that.
Vader was considered an unsafe worker, but I think it's more he's a stiff worker because he had regard for the other people. Like, I know Mick Foley's account of losing his ear, Vader was the opponent in that match. Vader was like
sobbing.
But McFoley
does take blame for that, correct?
Yeah.
Like, McFoley said, I didn't check things I should have checked.
Like,
I mean, not to put blame on Foley, but it's...
Vader's the kind of guy who, if he actually did legitimately hurt somebody, though, like, he was sobbing backstage.
Yeah.
Like, he was that kind of big guy. Also...
Unlike Brock Lesnar, who doesn't care.
Yeah. Like, Brock Lesnar doesn't give a shit, and then Jericho gets in his face for it.
Okay. Speaking of Brock Lesnar... Not to change the subject, but to change the subject. What about, what do you think of yet another Brock Lesnar-Goldberg match coming up?
What sucks is there's a rumor that Goldberg's going to beat Kevin Owens for the Universal title to give that match the title. That's I'm hoping that's not true.
So I'm taking neither one of you are a fan of this.
And if it's just them facing and there's no Universal title involvement,
then I don't care.
I'll see if...
But why would you want a title involvement for Goldberg?
Wouldn't want it.
Yeah, okay.
We don't.
So you're saying you're okay as long as there's not a title?
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay.
I don't want the Kevin Owens show to end.
So we're discussing the
unsafe workers.
But let's lead back to the most recent incident involving Samoa Joe. In response to the injury, WWE asked Samoa Joe to tweet in character to Triple H to keep the story going in kayfabe and to hopefully get the fans' minds off of Rollins, this will be great for Samoa Joe to build up heel heat, because anything involving pro wrestling, especially in the eyes of the internet,
they'll milk it.
They will milk it. They will use anything for a story to drive face or heel heat.
Exactly.
So you're excited about Samoa Joe?
Oh, very.
Yeah,
he's
great wrestler.
Can you explain the appeal to me, please?
It's the same reason why I like Kevin Owens.
Mm-hmm.
He's a bigger guy that should not be able to do the things he can do.
Yep.
He's a notoriously amazing, consistent worker. He's definitely in the twilight of his career, I should say that. He's got maybe 2-3 years left on him.
Maybe a little more than
of full time work.
Quality full time work. And
you think, because I don't think he's on par with KO at all. I think Kevin Owens is much better mic worker from what I've seen, I think.
Well, also remember
Let me remind the audience that Katie is a newly casual wrestling fan. Recent, newly exposed.
Newly minted. She's
newly exposed to the world of wrestling.
Okay.
We need to show you the...
I've seen stuff.
Need to show you their Ring of Honor work.
Yeah, especially
Samojo's TNA work as well. Yeah. I put him in the same category as Kevin Owens, because even though Owens might be the snarkier guy, Samoa Joe has the... uncanny ability to be a monster heel. And again, a lot of fans recognize him and respect him for the work that he's done in both Ring of Honor and TNA, and he is also a big guy who should not be able to do physically what he can do in the ring, so that's why a lot of people love him so much.
And the tweet that Hamley's talking about, before we get back to the appeal of Samoa Joe, he goes, at Triple H, I believe I have delivered as requested, and then a video of Seth Rollins with the walking on crutches. And then after that, he puts a picture of Alice Mouse in Wonderland crying, and says, "When your ats be like."
Yep. So, getting heel heat.
Yeah, like...
I had to give it to him. That Alice in Wonderland picture was friggin' fantastic.
So, him and Kevin Owens are very good at using Twitter to get heel heat.
So, final thought on this, and then we got to move on to the next topic here, but... Samoa Joe is now on the main roster, and he could not have delivered a better debut than what he did with Seth Rollins, even though Rollins was unfortunately injured. We will see what happens with Seth Rollins. You can follow at BSR Wrestling on Twitter, and as soon as we hear anything about this, we will tweet it out.
Yes.
But moving on, I want to talk about something that I never thought I would actually discuss on this show, and that's the WWE Network show Holy Foley. Because we have both been watching this because I, despite my hatred of it, I am a sucker for trashy reality TV.
You don't like Holy Foley?
I'm a sucker for trashy reality TV, and I've been watching this, and there are some notes that I want to discuss from here. First off, Noelle Foley is Mick Foley's daughter. She wants to be a pro wrestler. She wants to be a women's competitor, and not only is she insanely beautiful, but her boyfriend's a jackass. That's all you really need to know.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
And that Mick doesn't like...
He's way more than a jackass. And if you want to read the greatest moment of your entire life, look up his AMA on Reddit.
Yeah. For WrestleMania week 1 year, they did an AMA for Frank the Clown. And it, as they called it on the internet, it was a massive shitpost.
Yes, it was. It was great. So, Mike, how do you think Noelle Foley did in her tryout?
Okay. In the show, the way they portrayed it was that she did, like, she impressed them, but her cardio was not good enough. Like, I saw her getting gassed during one of the drills, which usually is not a good sign for anybody in that. So,
I mean, I appreciate her effort, but there was one scene in particular where, he brought Enzo Amore in to help her cut a promo. And in this episode, he basically told Noelle, you're going to get an opportunity and you're going to have a lot of eyes on you because you are my daughter. And I think that's a lesson that a lot of these, not just in pro wrestling, but I think a lot of people with famous parents who try to get into the same business as their parents don't understand. Like, they are getting a very privileged opportunity to get in the mainstream spotlight because they have famous parents and therefore they have an advantage.
And I think
Noelle Foley is no exception. I mean, she definitely has the look to be a pro wrestler. I don't think she has the skills, but I think she has the heart, I would say. Desire.
She may not have the cardio, but her technical shit was on point.
She was getting better.
She was getting a lot better, but I don't think she's ready yet.
No, and as long as she keeps it up, I think she can get there, especially if she keeps training and getting herself
in
shape.
But again, she's also going to get the opportunity just because she is Mick Foley's daughter.
They'll open the door. She's got to walk her way through it, essentially.
Right, and that's what Mick said. And I think that to me was one of the best lessons that Mick could have given could have gave his daughter. That was a wonderful scene. And then of course that follows with Enzo Amore teaching her how to cut a promo, and Enzo coming in and just shitting on her and her stupid boyfriend.
He is the worst now.
Who is so way below her league. Let's just get that out of the way.
Not only that, out of her league.
Are you sensing a little bit of jealousy over there?
I'm not jealous. All I'm saying is Noelle Foley is so far out of this dude's league. What did he do? Did he kidnap her and like Stockholm syndrome happened?
If you're Mick Foley, you probably think that because Mick Foley can't stand the kid.
So Hammy, did you hear the actual story behind Noelle Foley and the clown?
No, I don't know the whole story. I watch it just because I like shitty TV.
All right.
So explain to me the boyfriend.
So here's the deal. Apparently they met at SummerSlam like 3 years ago or something.
Yeah, of course.
He is a diehard, avid Mick Foley fan.
Oh boy.
To the point where he literally follows around the WWE.
Oh boy.
Like, has his job is to follow around the WWE dressed as a clown. And I don't mean a pay job either. I mean, like, that's just what he dedicates all his fucking time to. And he apparently went, oh, you're Mick Foley's daughter? Attach. And everyone can see it except for Noelle. And the WWE Network is being entirely too nice to him about it by not bringing the fact, like, bringing it out, we found his Facebook page and it is completely covered with WWE pictures. Yeah.
I did say Noelle Foley has the beauty. I did not say she had the brains.
when it comes
to this idiot. My God. I mean, if you look at a couple, it is completely one-sided looks department here.
I want to point out, too, for those of you wondering how popular Frank the Clown is to wrestling fans on the AMA, First person, can you PayPal me $10? Second person, Virgil. Third person, he needs that hashtag fuck money.
I mean, this guy dating Noelle Foley would be like if I was dating Cameron Diaz from 2003.
Yes.
Oh, this would be like if I'm dating Trish Stratus now.
Yeah. By the
just
way.
So that's how out of this guy's league that Noelle is. So she's either really, really dumb. Or
naive,
mm-hmm. Or this guy has game like you've never seen before.
Oh, he doesn't have game. No, I think she just wants it to be true.
Yeah. I just think she's stupid.
So another one of the questions, did you have to get institutionalized after that bitch fit you threw over WWE's list of superfans?
That's great.
Yeah,
he
was not on it.
He was not on their list of top 10 superfans in 2012, and he threw a hissy over it.
That's amazing.
So, by the way, that's right, guys. He's the clown that's usually front row in a lot of WWE shows. That's him.
My favorite thing is when Noel gets behind the scenes and speaks to, you would know his name.
Oh, yeah, one of the vice presidents of talent relations, I forget his name now, but
it's like, we can't sign you with the freaky ass clown attached to you.
He's like, yeah, he goes, tell him to stop with the makeup, or because what he does affects you. Like, that's on you. Yeah, that's him being all like,
yeah, this is him with my favorite superfan, Brock Lesnar guy. Supposedly the Brock Lesnar guy.
Which one is Brock Lesnar guy?
This guy on the right.
With the skull shirt?
Yeah.
Okay.
He apparently works at like Quick Check or something, or 7-Eleven. All he does is spend his money and go travel and watch WWE events. He gets the same front row seat, and he's just a super fan. That's all he does. But this asshole on the left is Noelle Foley's boyfriend. Yeah. I mean, look at that. And then you look at Noelle Foley.
She's
stunning.
And then
you look at this schmuck that she's dating or dated. Ugh. I'm just blown away by how out of his league she is.
Here's how much she's hated. Someone asks, would Roman get over by beating the shit out of you?
Response, yes. Yes. Yes.
So response, yes. 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 And that's the thing, too. Like, what's funny in the show...
I mean, look at this.
Yeah, I don't understand it.
I don't understand it!
She is stunningly beautiful, and he's just creepy.
He shaves a part line in his hair.
Yes, why?
He looks like the trumpet player in a really shitty ska band. That's what he looks like.
While sipping
his homemade IPA.
The really shitty ska cover band that the only song people care about is them doing the rendition of Knock on Wood.
Yes! Or doing a really shitty cover. Doing a really shitty cover of Real Big Fish's Beer.
Yeah.
Oh, this is so bad.
God, I hate him. God, I hate him
but
so
here's,
much.
But here's the funny thing, though. So, in the course of the last five episodes of Holy Foley Season 1, after that talk with after being backstage in WWE and getting that talk, she decides to take a break from him. Because she's got to, like, take...
Oh, and we all know what breaks mean in relationships.
So he decides to go talk to her mother and take the dog for a walk to have bonding time.
Not only that, though, when she says it, he starts, like, you can see the panic, like, fuck, I'm not going to get to go backstage anymore.
Yeah, his look is not that a broken heart. It is sheer,
it's not
all panic.
My insanely out-of-my-league beautiful girlfriend is breaking up with me. It's... Oh, I'm not going to see John Cena backstage anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, you fucking Mark. That's all you are.
So you're
a Mark that got lucky.
He talks to the mom, asks her, what should I do? So she's like, just give her space. Like, stop being an ass. Also, her thing was letting have him concentrate on getting a job as well.
And when Mick Foley tries to talk to him about his position, he just goes... I'm not really a job kind of guy.
Yeah. Oh my God, as much as I couldn't hate him even more.
Yeah. So he talks to the, he's like, all right, I'll stay away. What does he do next? He schedules lunch with Dewey Foley, her brother, who works for WWE as a creative assistant. He asked them to go to lunch. The reason was to pitch an idea to Dewey. Whereas if she gets accepted in NXT, have him be her manager to get heel heat.
And help her in hilarious shenanigans fit for a clown. Right? That was his thing? Yeah.
Dewey was like, no. And the funny part was Frank tried to
look at her. She was literally carrying him through this relationship too. Look at that.
So
what a scumbag. Have you ever looked at someone you hated them with just such fiery passion? Yeah. That's what I'm doing right now with this.
The best part about the lunch with Dewey though, Frank tries to get Dewey to pay for lunch, and Dewey's like, "You invited me out to lunch. Technically, that means you got to pay."
And literally just walks out of the diner. Yep. It was
look at
fantastic.
This. Look at this. Him with CM Punk. Why do I hate him so
That's
much?
That's literally that dude's entire Facebook page is just him with
wrestlers.
Yeah.
Like
not even Noel, like just fucking wrestlers.
He's got to be like, oh god, Frank the Clown. Nobody likes Frank the Clown either.
Look at that. That's so weird.
Like
that look on his face. Ew. Oh.
So someone about
how did this girl date this guy? This is just proof that hot girls love douchebags.
No, I have a theory.
I'm overruling your theory, and this is just further proof that the most beautiful women in the world will date insufferable pricks because reasons.
No, here's my theory, though. Her father is a household name. Even if you don't know Mick Foley, you know Mankind or whatever. So she's probably in a position where she doesn't get to meet a lot of men that she can actually date. They're either intimidated to talk to her. She's either so protected that she really doesn't get the opportunity. So I think for some reason, this is the first guy that actually kind of broke through whatever had to get through to take her out to dinner.
I mean, you set the bar. If that's the case, then Noelle, sweetheart, you set the bar real low for yourself.
There's like average dudes who are like, I've got a chance.
Go for it. You're better than the clown.
Yes! fat, useless, and ugly pricks like me have a shot if this is what she ends up with.
Hashtag Cammy Hearts Noel.
I do!
By the way, here's how popular Frank is. Another one from Reddit. I am so let down that I don't know how to express it other than hoping Roman Reigns wins on Sunday.
To none of this. Yeah,
look at what you made me say, goddammit. I'd love to stick around, but I have an appointment with my balls through a meat grinder that I just hate to miss. how do you feel? Here's one.
God's sake.
Another question Frank got from Reddit. How do you feel about thousands of men masturbating to pics of your girlfriend daily?
How does it feel that any other guy ever could probably steal your girlfriend from you?
How is that half Mankind, though? How is that half Cactus Jack? Like, I don't understand. And the scary thing is, if you look at the two of them, like Noel and Mick together, you can actually see resemblances. It's the weirdest thing to me.
Frank, you're a huge inspiration to me. Ever since I saw your cute white face and plump red nose, no other clown raises my penis as much. How can I become a Frank the Clown disciple and move beyond Mark to Super Mark?
I hate Frank the Clown so much. I like Doink the Clown better. I like Dink the Clown better than Frank the Clown.
Another example of how much people love Frank the Clown. How long do you usually last with Noelle? 4 to 5 seconds. Have you ever satisfied her even once? I hope you get diarrhea on a bus in rush hour traffic. Which wrestler would you rather Noel cheat on you with?
You know that's exactly what's going to happen, too.
Wait.
All right, I'm taking calls now. Which one do you think?
All right, who does Noelle end up with? Does she go to NXT? Something tells me she's more of a Ty Dillinger guy, because he could just say, hey, 10 inches. that's what he can do.
Apparently, even Randy Orton doesn't like Frank the Clown. Like that.
Randy Orton doesn't like anybody.
Falco,
he will
piss
in his gym bag.
So we have Ty Dillinger. Who's your...
This is assuming Ty Dillinger's single.
Yeah, and he's not. Like I think he's actually married.
Oh, well then screw that idea.
Well, that all changes.
Fuck it. I'm going to say
who's someone in the New Day.
No.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think they're douchey enough.
No, but they're funny enough, and Noelle seems like the type that she's like, oh, you make me laugh.
Fair point, yeah, fair point.
She seems like an airhead, which means if you can make her laugh, you will get a date with her if you can make her laugh.
Woods or Biggie, I'll say.
She gets a hard-on watching Xavier Woods with Francesca, whatever number.
You know what? Okay. Xavier Woods, there's my pick.
Someone else. I just want to say thank you for being a bigger heel fan than I am. Sincerely, DraftKings guy from SummerSlam.
Oh my god. What we're saying is Noelle's really hot and she's way out of this guy's league and she can get any guy she wants. That's basically what we're trying to get here, folks.
And this is fantastic. It'll be funny when Noelle starts another one. It'll be funny when Noelle starts wrestling and dates another wrestler and this guy doesn't get to go to shows anymore.
Oh. Seriously, fuck Frank the Clown. All right. Enough with that, because I'm just going to get angry again.
Wait, how much will you be featured on the new show, and how do you plan on using that for the spinoff, The IWC Inexplicably Hates Frank?
All right, moving on with that. What we're saying is Holy Foley is a good show, and you should watch it.
It's addicting.
Are you the love child of Doink and Yerple?
Here's how much I hate you. I would pay Virgil $50 for his autograph before I say hi to you.
See, Hammy hates you so much, he'd rather give Virgil that fuck money, though.
Oh, the greatest thing, too, is the day that Holy Foley came on, the trending hashtag on Twitter was alternative jobs for clowns.
So I was a dick. And said, alternative jobs for clowns, latching on to at Real McFoley's family. Am I right, Frank the Clown?
Did that get any love?
No, I wish.
Oh, that's a very good tweet, though. Oh, my God. Seriously, how... All right, we have a woman present in this studio.
Yes.
Can you just explain to me how beautiful women like Noelle Foley end up with such...
I did.
Stupid douchebags look like Frank the Clown.
I did explain it. She probably is so behind barriers that she has no confidence with men because she rarely gets to actually interact with a man in a natural way.
That's probably the most realistic, logical explanation you could probably have.
Like, she never has the opportunity to have, like, a guy waiting for a Starbucks next to her to chat up or, like, no actual real conversation. She probably can't go on OkCupid or anything because she probably has so much protection that she couldn't go meet a guy for dinner. She probably can't sit on the beach and have a guy come up and be like, hey.
Okay, speaking as a guy who is very insecure to talk to people, especially beautiful women, I would even go, now that I know what she is coming from, I would approach her. And have the balls to go to and ask around the date.
She set the bar real fucking low.
I just said that because of what she's... oh, my God. I hate Frank the Clown.
Yeah. Oh, you'll like this, Hammy, though.
We have to actually talk some... We have to talk wrestling.
No, you'll like this one. You'll this exchange. I have no question from you. I think I speak on behalf of all of us when I say this. You are a fucking attention whore. You are not welcome here. You're not funny at all. Fuck you. Response. As God is my witness, that comment just broke him in half.
The man has a family latch on.
What makes the whole Frank the Clown thing even worse?
Will somebody stop the damn relationship? Enough's enough! By God, will someone just revoke his backstage passes? Frank the Clown, you son of a bitch! Do you realize what you just done?
What makes the whole situation even worse, though, and especially with the latching on to Mick Foley thing, is the guy wears nice-ass clothes and has always just had it, like... haircut, and it's a bad haircut, but it's an expensive bad haircut.
Oh, he's one of those
like
guys.
That thing takes craftsmanship.
He's totally a hipster.
So guess whose pocket that's probably coming out of.
I am so glad Enzo Amore tore into him.
Yeah. By the way, I wonder how Frank the Clown feels to be the least popular guy in a WWE camera. So unpopular that Michael Cole is now the second least most hated person in WWE.
Yes, I would rather watch Michael Cole matches than pay attention to Frank the Clown.
See, Frank, see what you did? You turned Hammy into a coal miner. That's what you did.
I'd rather watch Cody Rhodes return to Stardust than watch Frank the Clown.
I'd rather have seen them play out the Ken Ryan Shamrock incest angle.
I would rather see Luke Gallows go back to being retard Festus than Frank the Clown again. Because even Festus has more brain cells than Frank the Clown. Oh, fuck him.
He really is the worst. I'd rather see David Arquette in a 3-month reign as WCW champion than see Frank the Clown.
Okay, that might be pushing it.
No, it's not. Have you seen Frank the Clown?
I'd rather see Frank the Clown get the title than David Arquette.
I'd rather be forced to watch the Sid Vicious leg break for a week, 24-hour loop.
Oh, okay. I'd rather watch TNA now.
Oh. Even I know how bad that one is.
I'd rather watch Dixie Carter come out and be the general manager of Monday Night Raw than watch Frank the Clown.
I'd rather see Scott Steiner try to recite the Constitution.
Whoa, okay. That's an impossible feat, man. That's an impossible feat.
Hey, if Seth Rollins coming back quickly from an ACL has taught us anything, nothing's an impossible feat.
All right, you know what? They're remaking Scarface, right? Mm-hmm. But they're having a Mexican actor instead of a Cuban actor. I would rather them whitewash this movie have Matt Damon play Tony Montana than Frank the Clown.
Wait, since when is Al Pacino a Cuban actor?
Fair enough. Speaking of the joke, they're changing his origins.
I'd rather have the brain that Hammy comes up with the references with to use American.
Okay, that was a good comeback.
I'd rather be in a UFC fight with Brock Lesnar than watch Frank the Clown.
Oh, I'd rather be in a UFC fight with CM Punk because I'd actually win. Okay, so we have to...
2 minutes and 15 seconds, bruh.
Yep. All right,
I'd rather...
I think we've shit on Frank the Clown enough. We have to actually talk
are you
wrestling
sure? Is there really a thing that such thing as enough shitting on Frank the Clown? I'm pretty sure it's the one time it's like a pinata, and not a sexy pinata like Y2J.
Let's just wrap this up. If you're ever having a really bad day, like horrendously, like your dog got run over, stubbed your toe, grandma's in the hospital, bad day, just look up his AMA on Reddit. It will make the world make sense again.
In the world of digital verbal beatings, Frank the Clown is up there with some of the worst beatings I've ever seen.
If you want to smile, search Frank the Clown Reddit AMA.
It's a beautiful thing. It's
okay. So now that we got that out of our system, the jealousy of a loser dating Noelle Foley out of our system, we have to finish up talking some actual pro wrestling here because this is a pro wrestling show. Elimination Chamber matches are starting to come together. The Chamber match is one of the Chamber match is going to be John Cena going in as a champion versus AJ Styles versus Bray Wyatt versus The Miz versus Dean Ambrose versus Baron Corbin. Mike, what are your thoughts on who was added? And is this too soon for Baron Corbin?
Okay, so this is essentially the entire main event scene for SmackDown at this point in one match.
Which, to their credit, I'm liking what they're doing with Baron Corbin now. I'm glad that he's finally getting a chance.
Are you? Because I was going to say, the only person that I disagree with being in there is Baron Corbin.
No, well, all right. When it comes to the Elimination Chamber matches, though, they always put in the one guy who's not quite there yet, but is about to get a big push.
Baron Corbin will make a big impact and like have some good spots and like shows and
so
show that he's strong.
To like showcase him to bring him
but
power.
He's going
to
be eliminated early on.
Well, he won't be eliminated early. He'll probably last a little longer. Like, he'll probably eliminate The Miz and Dean Ambrose.
Probably.
And then be eliminated.
He's going to get eliminated by someone big in the match.
Yeah. But like,
he's going to lose, but he should lose to a worthy person of being pinned.
Like John Cena or AJ will eliminate him, but he'll eliminate Miz and or Dean Ambrose in the match.
Right, so who do you think is going to end up winning the title coming out of that?
Bray.
I would hope Bray.
He needs it.
Setting up
he
a him
desperately
and Randy
needs
Orton
it.
Run at mm-hmm.
But like I said in the last episode, Randy Orton's walking out of WrestleMania with the title.
I don't think so.
I will wait for WWE to prove me wrong, but so far, it's looking like Bray Wyatt versus Randy Orton with Randy Orton being Bray.
I think they're going to do right by Bray Wyatt.
You think Randy Orton's going to beat Bray Wyatt?
Yes, I do.
I think Bray Wyatt needs the win.
Yeah.
I'm not thinking that WWE is logical with this situation here.
Yeah, but
I just see that Randy Orton's a more marketable star instead of the right thing to do, which is to push fucking Bray Wyatt.
But here's the thing, though. Randy Orton's a marketable star, but
10 years ago.
He's still a marketable star now.
But John Cena's the biggest marketable star, and they kept the title off him for years now at this point.
That is true.
Like, you don't need what Randy Orton is up there. Like, not
believe
at,
me here. Believe me when I say this, guys. That I do agree that Bray Wyatt should beat John Cena. Yeah. That Bray Wyatt should go to WrestleMania and retain the championship. Believe me, he should do that. Bray Wyatt needs to win and have a title reign. Okay, I believe you. But I also believe that Randy Orton is going to main event WrestleMania and walk out with the title.
All right, not main event. And here's the thing with Randy Orton. Randy Orton, in my mind, has gotten to the point where he's in give back to the business mode. And one of the things he's going to do, and the whole reason for the design of this Randy Orton Bray Wyatt feud, is to put Bray over.
God, I fucking hope so. I hope. I've never wanted someone to be pushed more than Bray Wyatt. You have Cesaro that you always go on about how they need to treat him right. And
yeah, they do.
Push him. Bray Wyatt's my Cesaro. Bray Wyatt needs this win. Bray Wyatt desperately needs a push in the main event scene. And he needs a title. They need to pull the trigger with Bray Wyatt. The next match announces Alexa Bliss versus Naomi. And a tag team turmoil match.
And now, I like the Alexa Bliss versus Naomi, that it'll freshen up things, like give a different matchup for a while.
I'm over Alexa Bliss and Becky Lynch.
That was a good feud, but like they do have to shuffle.
I'm over Alexa Bliss. She's Angelica from the fucking Rugrats. She's terrible. And her NXT gimmick, I just saw it. It's creepy as fuck.
Well, no, you saw the original, like, the pixie gimmick before they turned
real. It was weird.
And Natalya versus Nikki Bella in a who-gives-a-shit match. Like,
well,
I don't care anymore.
Natalya.
Because this whole thing started...
I feel low.
This whole thing started from Survivor Series. This whole thing started from, like, someone said something mean about Nikki Bella. I don't even remember how this feud started. It's just useless to me.
Oh, I was thinking Naomi. I do like Natalya, though.
I love Natalya. But this feud with Nikki Bella, it's just, who gives a shit at this point?
Because it's Nikki Bella.
I just hope it's a decent match. That's all. Like, I don't care about the feud. I just care if it's a good match.
Do you think it's possible to have a good match with Nikki Bella? Honestly.
Yeah, of course it is. I think Nikki Bella was always a strong worker. I just think she was spoon-fed opportunity after opportunity. That was my beef with Nikki Bella. I never questioned her in-ring ability.
Okay, let's not get ahead of ourselves with Nikki Bella being good. Both Bellas were pretty bad. They were like...
Compared to the best in the women's division, yes, but... They weren't so bad that they're unbearable to watch.
They were unbearable to watch until Daniel Bryan and John Cena went to them, listen, like, you've really got to get your shit together with this stuff. Like,
I'm not disagreeing with that, but what I am saying is now, Nikki Bella, she's not that bad.
I mean...
Seriously, she's not that bad now.
She's a female John
Hot
Cena
take.
At this point.
Yeah, there we go.
She's a female John Cena at this point.
Two last things before we head out of here. SmackDown ratings have climbed to a 6-month all-time high.
Yep.
Which is excellent. SmackDown's been doing everything right apart from Raw. SmackDown is by far the better product to watch, but mostly because the writing team on SmackDown knows how to write wrestling. And, of course, you have the genius as Mauro Ranallo calling it and captivating your interest into the show. Yeah. And Katie, you had a question before we started taping this show that you wanted to ask us.
Oh, okay. So watching...
We'll end on this.
Okay. And please, I want people's opinions on this, so tweet the Brain Stew Wrestling account and, like, give your feedback.
That's at BSR Wrestling for those who don't know.
Yeah, because I'm really curious and I'll be looking. I'm looking and I know that Triple H created a whole... performance center for the NXT people and, you know, main rosters if they wanted to use it. And they have this whole partnership with Full Sail. Now, if they're trying to push the WWE network, they're getting a lot right but screwing a lot up. Like, in my opinion, 205 Live should have a night separate from Raw or SmackDown. I think there's too much going on for there to be a network show that they're trying to actively push the same night there's a show on regular TV, especially when there's SmackDown 205 Live and then talking smack, which has nothing to do with 205 Live. So it's just very disjointed, and I think there's a lot of issues there. And I personally would like to see like 205 Live on Thursday nights, maybe. And to create that, I think it'd be a really good idea if they created like a WWE arena and had the Hall of Fame attached to that, because there's just so much opportunity that I feel like WWE is missing. I mean, they could hire out, music and wrestling have always gone together, right? They could make concert series. They could, that they could have like exclusive TV access through their network. They could create their own schedules for NXT and 205 Live and have the freedom to do even more shows where they would need access to an arena. They wouldn't have to go by anyone else's schedule. They could create a, you know, actual sturdy Titantron and, you know, non-collapsible ring and all of this shit. I don't know. I don't know what you gentlemen think. I think there's a lot of lost opportunity there with what they're doing at Full Sail that they would have if they did things on their own. And the stuff that they're working with Full Sail wouldn't have to go away. They could still do the internships and all of that. They're both in Orlando, so there's no reason why that couldn't still happen.
I'll say this. For someone who admittedly just less than a year started watching pro wrestling and getting into what goes on both on camera and off camera behind WWE, that is a very fair and very insightful question. Mike, what do you think? I'll let you answer this one first.
Okay, so I think everyone would agree with their, it would be a good idea for them to have their own space. I know they've got an arrangement. It probably won't be anytime soon if they were to do that because of the Full Sail deal. I've honestly never even heard of anything that would make me know if they were planning on doing that. I could see where it would be beneficial because it would give them the potential for a lot more revenue and also the ability to keep as much of that money as humanly possible, especially being in Florida, which is very easy tax situation wise for something like that. And they'd probably get like extra money for that. What I'm wondering is if they just don't want, like, if they don't do it and they just feel like staying with Full Sail, it might just be they don't want to deal with the rigors of running a venue. When they, I mean, again, that might be if why they haven't, or they just might not have been able, you know, it might be something where they're thinking of doing it and they're just, but they're not really putting anything into it yet because they're still in a deal with Full Sail.
I mean, they have the land. I'm picturing like an entire WWE complex with the Hall of Fame, which is getting increasingly more legitimate every year. They could do so much more with their network if they had their own arena.
Yeah, I mean, okay, I don't know how much land they own around the Performance Center.
It's Vince. He'll buy it up. And this is exactly someone who's afraid to...
I mean, for...
Okay, yeah. So let me tackle this one then, because I don't think, while that's a good idea, I don't think that's ever going to happen. I think, if anything, they might build a physical Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
But I think that's the furthest they're going to go with having their own building where the public can just go in and watch. First off, they have a business partnership with Full Sail University, which is a for-profit college. Full Sail is a... It's technically a trade school, but it's what you call... It's a for-profit college. You pay a shitload of money to learn a specific trade, and... if you go to Full Sail as a student, you in the entertainment fields that they have, which I'm not saying that they have bad facilities. They have top of the range facilities.
Yeah, they.
If you want to learn how to produce a TV show, WWE's Full Sail program gives students the opportunity to work with WWE and help produce NXT shows. So they earn scholarships. They give out $10,000 worth of $10,000 scholarships to students. WWE partners with Full Sail University to help teach students how to learn how to produce an entertainment show. So for that reason,
would that have to stop though? Would they not be able?
Yeah,
to
WWE
still
would
do-
WWE would have to terminate the partnership with Full Sail if they want to produce NXT and.
They couldn't bring in students under like an internship program from Full Sail.
I'm sure they probably do, but they, as far as like moving NXT to their own in-house facility, that's never going to happen. As long as they're continuing to partner with Full Sail University, until something drastic happens, NXT will always be home to Full Sail University. Now, as far as your question about 205 Live, I think it's just because money is cheaper. It's cheaper to ship 205 Live with SmackDown. And even though the crowds are dead at that point, after because
put it on an NXT schedule, do 4 in one night.
That's a possibility.
Yeah, I think that would be the most.
That would be the only other solution that you could think of. But
because I know,
then you would have to change the name of the show. It's no longer 205 Live.
Oh,
I mean they right, emphasize right. it on live yeah, they, exclusively on WWE Network.
They can. There's been shows that have said, "Oh, like someone's alive," and they.
Yeah, but they emphasize that's going to be a live program. So unless you go back to strictly taping it, and they probably would do it at Full Sail because that's the only other option that they can. It's going to be live. It's going to be after SmackDown, and the Cruiserweights are going to ship with the SmackDown roster.
Okay, or have it home and then do it live once a week, but have it housed at Full Sail. Like it's what they're doing is not working.
But you also need to figure out what the schedule at Full Sail is like. Yeah. I don't know what goes on at Full Sail. All I know is it's a very expensive school that you should not go to. I mean, I tried to look at Full Sail. But I've looked into it
for the fact of possibly being able to work on NXT shows.
It is a for-profit business relationship. So if they could see how they could financially gain both Full Sail and WWE, how they could financially gain by moving 205 Live there, maybe. Yeah. Maybe. I mean, but I mean, WWE and I'm not Full Sail. Yeah. But to answer your question, the only way that they could possibly do that is either remove 205 Live as a live programming and tape a few episodes a month or whatever at Full Sail with NXT, or do it live but at Full Sail as well.
They would probably tape episodes in batches of that.
That's
point.
Probably what the only
the,
way they would
the
do.
The good thing for that though is that it'll be in the Full Sail crowd, which is livelier than the average SmackDown crowd. With that, like at that point.
Well, like I heard that the ratings for Talking Smack, which was getting a lot of ground, decreased after 205 Live. I've heard 205 Live really isn't picking up in ratings.
To the point where they're taking the cruiserweights off of Raw.
Yeah, I mean, things are bad how they're handling it right now.
So, we don't know. I mean, time will tell what WWE does with it, but I would love to see, what I would really love to see is a physical Hall of Fame. I would love to see a physical Hall of Fame building for the WWE because not a lot of people know that there is an actual Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame. There is a legit Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame, and a lot of people think WWE Hall of Fame is just the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame because that's all they know. So I would love to see, and the WWE Hall of Fame has a stacked list of inductees. So I think it's time that they finally make
a
physical Hall
so
of Fame.
They so much stuff in storage, too.
Yeah, just waiting to make.
I mean, I've been to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame several times, and it has a perfect showcase of memorabilia, information about the inductees, and a list of all the inductees, what they accomplished, what their careers were.
Oh, yeah, Cooperstown, the same thing if you're into baseball. Like, do it and do it right, WWE.
So I would love to see a physical WWE Hall of Fame.
Why do you think they haven't done that? If they're cataloging and saving stuff.
If they're going to do it, I would imagine they do it with a sort of an entertainment aspect to it. My guess is it would go to Universal.
Yeah.
Well, weren't they in talks
with Universal? They were in talks about
that. They were in talks with it. And I think it makes the most sense because before you enter Universal Studios Florida, you enter like a Riverwalk or whatever type of thing where it's like a city block full of just entertainment stuff.
It's called City Block.
Oh, it is? Yeah. Okay, I didn't know.
No, City Walk. Something like that.
So you go there and, WWE is, whether you hate WWE or whatnot, WWE is one of the biggest entertainment companies in the world.
Yep.
And why not have their Hall of Fame in an entertainment facility like Universal Studios? It will legitimize it. It'll make sense business wise for it. And I think even a lot of the old time wrestlers, I don't think they would give a shit because I mean they've received everything they're ever going to receive from the WWE Hall of Fame. I just think that like the pro football Hall of Fame, just to go see like a bronze statue head of the inductees, that would be kind of cool.
Well, I know, like, and I don't mean to like go back to Holy Foley, but there was an episode where he shows Noel the storage lockers at WWE.
Yeah,
and they have an insane amount of memorabilia. That's like like Foley's Hell in a Cell or Undertaker coffins or all this stuff that's like numbered and cataloged and kept in like air controlled environments to preserve it. I mean, Vince knew this was coming from like 25 years ago. So why haven't,
of course.
Yeah. So why haven't they started getting traction on actually, they have this huge ceremony every year, like make this an actual thing.
I don't think you could fit everything that's in the warehouse into the physical Hall of Fame, but I think you could alternate. You can you can have a rotating door of memorabilia and exhibits. Turn it into a WWE museum. Museum / Hall of Fame. That would be great. I would go to Florida just to go to that if they did this.
Especially they put it somewhere like Universal where people go every like 2 years.
Not to mention
if they
started doing tours of the Full Sail NXT campus and the WWE Performance Center, I would go there in a heartbeat. Just as a fan to take a tour.
As two gentlemen who have been watching this for 25 years each, why hasn't this happened?
Money?
Yeah.
Oh, Vince has money coming out of his ass. Why hasn't...
I mean, he's a millionaire, not a billionaire anymore. He lost that billionaire club card, but...
But there's... I mean, WWE does some expensive ass shit. This is something that could bring them revenue. You charge $10 a ticket or whatever it is. Like, this is something good. They already have everything they need to put in it.
I think it's more complicated than that, but...
Okay, then please explain it to me.
I don't know. Okay. It's just more complicated than what you're saying, but...
I do think, though...
It has to make sense business-wise for him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I know they want to. I think there's logistics, which I think might get a little easier now that Linda's in the federal government.
Okay.
That's the big thing. Like,
a lot of
red
tape.
They changed their entire business practice because they wanted to get Linda McMahon into politics. And her biggest, like, any of her opponents, anyone who thought negatively of her, that's the wrestling woman.
Yeah.
That's the one where they have bra and panty matches. Like, that's like a WWE went PG. One of the reasons why they went PG is to try to help Linda McMahon get into politics. And now that she's with Trump, I think they might get a little more extreme with their program and a little more public with their business practices. I don't know. But to answer your question, yes. Bottom line is, I would love to see a Hall of Fame, physical Hall of Fame, instead of a page on a WWE website. But anyhow, on that note,
before we go, I do want to point out, too, a couple things that were announced just today. They are going with Roman Reigns versus Undertaker at WrestleMania. Vince wants to do it because he might not get another chance to, and it's a match he wants to do. Word is it'll likely be the Undertaker's last match because he wants to get hip replacement surgery when he retires. And joining him in the hip replacement surgery, and this is relevant because this could mean a shift on Raw, Mick Foley, I announced that since he got his health insurance back, he's going to be scheduling hip replacement surgery when he's got a free break in time, saying, and I quote, "The good news is the GM position doesn't offer much in the way of long-term job security, so that break may present itself as a natural course of events. So look for him to possibly be suspended or fired from his role in storyline because he needs 6 weeks of not being able to travel."
Right. All right.
Setting that up with Stephanie.
Yeah, they're already setting up like issues with them.
Yeah.
Which
anyhow,
Sami Zayn will be the kettle, Steph.
So, with that being said, this has been Brain Stew Wrestling, Pro Wrestling Talk without the PG filter. I am at Hams Gruber on Twitter. He is at Michael R. Falcone on Twitter. She is at Katie is on Cool on Twitter. And this is at BSR Wrestling on Twitter. We will see you next time. Same bat time, same bat network. This is Brain Stew Wrestling. See you next week.